Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Today's program, The Caves, by Erwin Gonshack, is the first in a series of Eternal Light dramas based on great archaeological finds of modern times. It is presented in observance of the Festival of Hanukkah.
My child.
But will we always be in this cave? Will we never leave it?
In God's time, we will leave it.
Mother, I know that animals live in caves, but is it right for men too?
We are not the first to live in these caves. Already we have found utensils which were used by the Canaanites many hundreds of years ago.
What were they escaping from?
We can only guess, Abraham.
The evil Roman emperor?
Child, the Romans weren't in the Holy Land then. But it may have been another tyranny, another fear.
Mother, why do you always look up at the sky?
I pray that from the sky, from the heavens, will come our deliverance.
Can General Bar Kokhba fly?
Bar Kokhba fly? Abraham, many marvelous stories are told of him. Once it is said that when the Romans used machines to throw huge stones at the Judean army, he cast them back with his knees. And breathing fire from his mouth, he frightened the Romans off the field.
Mother, does Bar Kokhba know we are hiding in these caves?
He does, my child.
Will he come and rescue us?
He will, Abraham. And he will also win back the freedom of his people. Rabbi Akiba has called him the Prince of Israel. He has arisen as a star in Jacob. We have hopes that he will establish the Messianic kingdom.
Will he be able to save us soon, Mother?
At first, his army won many victories. Then it suffered defeats. But with God's help, Bar Kokhba will raise another army. And he will come for us, Abraham. That day is not far off.
Look, Mother, an eagle in the sky.
Yes, child.
Mother, could it be Bar Kokhba? Is it the Prince of Israel?
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles.
The eagle is coming closer.
Yes, Abraham. It has great strength, and it flies freely in the skies with majesty and pride.
Mother, I will pray that it is Bar Kokhba coming to rescue us, and that he will carry us away from the caves through the skies. The eagle comes closer.
Come in, Lieutenant.
Spotted a number of caves in the cliffs to the north.
Oh, fine, Lieutenant. Can you hover over them a while?
Will do. But can't stay too long. The air currents are fairly treacherous around here.
We'll be there in the jeeps as quickly as possible.
Be waiting for you.
It was the spring of 1960. And I, a student at the Hebrew University, was one of a group of 170 composed of other students, amateur and professional archaeologists, and army personnel who were making an expedition into the Judean desert to explore the ancient caves. The drive from Jerusalem took only a few hours, but it was as if entering an entirely new world, extremely arid and hot, a strange world of dust storms, birds of prey, scorpions, and the ever-present but changing shapes of the chalk cliffs. It was inhumanly remote and terrifying, as if man was of no consequence here, as if he didn't belong here.
All right, now move the jeep back about 4 feet.
Okay!
We reached our destination and preparations to explore the caves began. I watched as a thick rope was tied to a jeep parked on top of the cliffs.
All right, now secure it tightly, Flomo.
Yeah.
Now, let me check it again. All right, some men over here to hold the rope.
Right.
The other end went round one of the leaders of the scouts. Then, over the top he went. The cliff was covered with loose stones and the rock itself was very brittle.
Careful, Flomo. Now watch out for slides. Slowly. Carefully.
Don't worry, I will.
The descent was very slow, and the danger of being carried away by an avalanche was great. Watching the tortuous climb down the cliff, I wondered what it was that drove men to take such hazardous risks. Merely to discover the past? But why? My head spun.
Goodbye, Slomo! That does it!
This cave was originally explored by Dr. Hironi in the first expedition. We thought we'd just make a second run through it.
Oh, there doesn't seem to be anything but dust in here. Oh, it must be about 10 inches thick.
Oh, we have evidence that our ancestors lived here, Ruth. No question about it.
Well, how can you tell?
Take a look at this here.
Hmm. Well, what is it?
That's a water cistern. You see, it was so constructed to catch the winter flood water as it came from that cleft in the rock.
Well, so that means the caves were prepared far in advance.
Well, we believe so. They were made for the days of emergency and siege, which they knew were coming.
Well, has writing from the warriors in the caves ever been uncovered of them?
No, not yet. Artifacts have been found and written material that they brought with them. But no last testament, if that's what you mean. But there were others besides warriors here.
Hey, run!
Right?
Come on back here!
Right.
We squeezed through a narrow slit in a rear chamber, and I saw a scene which made my blood freeze. Along the wall was a collection of baskets overflowing with skulls. And in the far corner was layer upon layer of large mats covering human bones.
Just the point I was making before, Ruth. These are not only the remains of Balkokba's fighters. You see the small shoes, combs, bright fabrics, skulls of children. There were also women and children living here for long periods of time. We have evidence that the Romans had a camp below, so they probably left men on guard to be sure that no one escaped and then just waited until the Jews in the caves starved to death. Something wrong, Ruth?
I think I can use some air.
Oh, yes, of course.
The scene horrified me. And I was suddenly gripped by an uncontrollable fear. I had only one thought. I had to get out of the cave. The tension was unbearable. Just get out of the cave, I told myself, and never return to it again. The demon herd were all about. Another funeral pile of Jews. Another Holocaust. Another Buchenwald. Another Dachau. The memories were too close to me. My parents had been sent out of Nazi Germany when they were children. But my grandparents and the rest of the family had remained. No, I vowed. I would not return to the caves. I would stay the 2 weeks of the expedition, work the walkie-talkie, do anything but go down there again. The caves had become the netherworld of my soul.
Central headquarters, report from Dr. Aharoni's group, Ruth.
Oh, come in, Navram. Ready here.
Dr. Aharoni reports several discoveries from the Bakokpa period. A coin, beads, some documentary fragments, and a section of Exodus 13. Some interesting news from Mr. Bahadon sector. Evidence of occupation by Bakokpa's men in the caves. It contained a number of utensils probably used by them. Our people claimed it still breathed with the life of the warriors. Ruth, we're walking the path of Bakokba's men right now.
Dutifully, I performed my chores. But I counted the days until I could leave these barren wastes, this huge sepulcher of the ancient world. Oh, yes, the connection of the past and the present age was all too clear. I know well what it meant. And wasn't there talk again of a return to the caves? Of all humanity returning to the caves to escape the bomb? Although the air was still and the temperature was oppressive, I shivered in the hot sands and tried to divert my thoughts from the bleak surroundings, past, present, and future. Yet my mind returned to what I had seen in the cave a few days ago. Evidence of whole families starving, refusing to surrender. And a part of me wished to hear their voices.
Dr. Yadin's group reports that a water bottle made of goat skin has been discovered in one of the caves. It contained a large bundle of colored raw wool wrapped in cloth, some small objects, and a bundle of papyri. A lot of excitement here.
But do they know what it is?
Well, I'm coming to that, Ruth. It's impossible to open them in the desert. After 18 centuries, they've become extremely brittle and must be handled with extreme care.
But is there no indication of what they contain?
Well, now, mind you, this is all in the realm of speculation so far. But Professor Yadin has taken four wooden slats with writing that were found among the papyri and put them together. He believes it was a letter from Bar Kokhba. It's quite possible that an entire archive of the letters of Bar Kokhba has been found.
And soon we were to listen to this voice from the past, from the great warrior Bar Kokhba. It was a soldier's voice, with a soldier's concern for authority and discipline.
You, your honors and Bavaya, and Masabala Bar Shimon, are to unload the boat of supplies at your port of Ein Gedi and dispatch them immediately to my camp. I command you to confiscate wheat belonging to one Tahun Bar Yishmael and threaten punishment for non-fulfillment of the order. Seize a certain Yeshua Bar Tadmoraya and send him to me under guard. Before you apprehend him, take away his sword.
Yes, I knew the letters were important. Factual information about the Bar Kokhba revolt is limited mainly to the Talmud and fleeting references in Roman histories. And here was a definite primary source from the period. Also, the scholars were interested in the letters written in Aramaic, Greek, and Hebrew for the linguistic lessons to be learned. Yet my interest was drawn to one small feature of the discovery. The documents were found bundled together with a selection of a woman's personal belongings. It is thought that she had probably taken them into the caves together with her possessions and kept them as her last prized relics of the hour of glory. Letters sent to her husband by the great commander of the revolt. I suppose it was this softer voice I was seeking, that of the woman, of the child perhaps, rather than the martial tones of the warrior. As I pondered this, an eagle circled high above the caves, its wings spread wide in the sky. I watched it glide above my head.
Mother, the eagle is back again. He is circling the cliffs.
Yes, Abraham, I see him.
I pray that it is Bar Kokhba, that he will sweep down to the caves and carry us on his back to a Jerusalem free of the Romans.
He can do this. I have faith that he is a true messenger of the Lord. And that soon he will come.
Will we always keep his letters, Mother?
Always, child. And they will be handed down from generation to generation. For remember, Bar Kokhba wrote them to your father. And this is a great honor. A very great honor.
But Father grows angry if he sees us reading them. Why is this, Mother?
It is hard for a man to remain in the caves. A man needs to be active, to build. We must be patient with your father.
Judeans, listen to me. Your situation is hopeless. In the name of Emperor Hadrian, I urge you to surrender. The Emperor grants amnesty to all who surrender now.
The Romans are calling again. I will tell Father. Father? Father? Are you awake?
Yes, my son.
The Roman guards are calling to us again.
I heard him, Abraham. His voice and his message never changes.
Judeans, it is hopeless. Your leader, Bar Kokhba, is dead. Do you hear? Bar Kokhba is dead.
They will never fool us with such lies.
It is not a lie.
What do you mean?
For once the Roman speaks the truth. Bar Kokhba is dead.
Yehonatan, how can you know? You have not been out of the cave.
He was dead before we came here. He was killed at Betar.
But he is the prince of Israel, a messenger from God.
Esther, listen to me. Bar Kokhba was a man. He lived and died as a man. He fought for our cause, and he fought well. That is much, but that is all.
Why didn't you tell us he was dead before we came here?
I thought if you believed he was still alive, it would give you more courage to go on. But when I would see you with the letters, I knew it wasn't right for me to let you and the child live on false hopes. Still, I said nothing.
Why do you tell us now?
I am convinced that no one is coming. In the beginning, I thought there might be a chance. But now I know that the rebellion is finally lost. The Romans have conquered.
Look, Father, the eagle flies right over us. Maybe it is Bar Kokhba.
No, Abraham, it is an eagle. It flies well, and it is strong. But it cannot save us.
Yehonatan, do we surrender to the Romans?
There is no surrender. We know what the Romans do to those who oppose them. Men are impaled, women and children are sold as slaves.
So, my husband, what choice remains? That we stay here and starve?
One affirmation remains.
Yes?
Abraham must live.
I want to be here with you, mother and father, always.
Abraham, you must obey your father.
I want only to be with you, to never leave you both.
My son, we will be with you. You are the hope, the promise, the destiny of our people. You have been taught to serve the highest, the Lord, and nothing else. And this you will do, and your children will do. But to do this, you must live.
Abraham, promise your father you will do anything he tells you to do.
I promise, Father.
This is my plan. It is almost twilight. In a few moments, we will make known our intentions to the Romans to surrender. Then we will all climb down the cliff to the valley below. When the Romans come for us, your mother and I will try to escape. In the confusion, you are to hide behind a rock. You are small, Abraham, and God willing, they will not see you. When it is dark and you are safe, you are to make for the north. I have seen the fires of a Bedouin tribe. You are to ask them for refuge.
Yes, Father.
You are to live with them and learn their ways. Go with them wherever they go. As the patriarch Abraham set out from Ur of the Chaldees many centuries ago, a nomadic Aramean wandering in the wild open spaces, you too are to search for your God and to find your people again.
Abraham, you do this not only for yourself, but for all of us. For all of humanity in these caves. For all who are dead, and for all who are yet to be born. Do you understand, my child?
Yes, Mother. Yes, Father.
Keep us, O God, for we have taken refuge in thee. We have said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. I have no good but in thee.
I will go first.
Yehonatan, the letters from Bar Kokhba.
Leave them be. We can't take them with us. They are now the past. And Abraham is now the future.
Judeans, you have taken the wise course. You will receive the promised treatment.
Guard, take reinforcements to the base of the cliff. Watch out for ambush or any subterfuge.
The Judeans who still remain in the caves, follow the example of those coming down. The rebellion is over. Bar Kokhba is dead.
Guards at the trick. They're trying to escape. Spear them. Spear them.
Captain, the woman is dead and the man was wounded. He is on the ground outside.
It was a third, the young boy. Where is he?
We have not been able to find him.
Fool! He would have made an excellent slave. I wanted him for my own entourage.
Captain, he ran like a hare, and then he hid somewhere. It was dark, and there are so many boulders.
Well, I'll speak to that Judean now. Have the other guards continue the search all night, if need be.
Yes, sir.
Judean, Will you never learn that you cannot best the might of the Roman Empire? No, there's no point in continuing. Guard, finish him off.
Yes, sir.
Just a moment. Did he speak? I'm curious. Guard, bend down and see if you can make it out.
Yes, sir.
Well?
It's hard to say, sir. Something like, Abraham lives.
Who is behind that rock? I've seen you. Now I'll use my stick.
Don't, please. It is I.
And who is I?
Abraham.
Abraham, the friend of God?
He is my grandfather of many centuries ago.
He is mine also. So don't be afraid, Abraham. Come out where I can see you.
I will do that.
Peace be with you, Abraham. My name is Diab, the son of Ganem.
And peace unto you, Diab.
Who are you hiding from?
The Romans.
Curse on the Romans. Where is your family?
We were in the caves. But now I believe they are dead.
So, Abraham, what do you intend to do now?
My father says I am to go with you.
Oh, did he? How did he know that we will take you?
Isn't it true that you always help a stranger in distress? Isn't that the code of the desert people?
Can you tend the flock, ride a camel, and build a tent, and race a stallion across the desert, and travel days on end with little food and water, and brave the heat of summer and the cold of winter?
I can learn to do all this.
We are going on a very long journey.
That is all right with me.
Do you see that eagle? We are following his path to Arabia, as far as the great sea at the other end of the world.
I am glad to follow the eagle. I have watched him many days. But one day I will return here.
When will that be, little friend?
When I have found my people again. When God wishes me to return.
Come with me, Abraham. We must tell the chief of the new goat herd with many dreams who we have found. Follow me, Abraham, the friend of God.
I looked at the eagle in the sky as it glided in an ever-widening circle. The voices I heard disappeared into the wind. The sight of the caves before me was as bleak as a terrain can be on the face of the earth. A complete wasteland. A desert which strikes terror into the heart of man with his dreams of a land flowing with milk and honey. A great desert of the heart. But now I could say that my fear had left me. The caves were no longer simply a huge graveyard. Here my forefathers came to escape the tyranny of the Romans. The soft voices of the caves reassured me. Every fiber in my bones told me it was true. I knew that Abraham still lives.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Samuel Rubin, president of the America-Israel Cultural Foundation. Mr. Rubin.
The story of Bar Kokhba's insurrection against the Romans, his valiant leadership against the tyranny and dictatorship of the Roman Emperor Hadrian in the second century of the Common Era, is one of the great sagas in the annals of the Jewish people. His was a fight for self-respect, for religious freedom, and for the right of man to live without the yoke of tyranny, a story particularly appropriate as we prepare to celebrate Hanukkah, for Hanukkah is born of another epic of resistance to tyranny, that waged by the Maccabees against the Syrian Greeks. As is true of so many aspects of early history, not too much is known of Bar Kokhba, of his birth, of his life, and of his death. What has come down to us is legend as well as fact. But as we look back upon man's continuing struggle against the forces of destruction, as we compare the Bar Kokhba insurrection to the troubles besetting the world of today, as we learn more and more about our past, we are better prepared to cope with the problems of the moment. The recent discovery of new facts about the life of Bar Kokhba is another of the fascinating archaeological discoveries constantly being made in Israel, the most famous of which was the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls. In the work of reconstructing the past and of developing a cultural tradition in Israel, the America-Israel Cultural Foundation plays an important role. We support Israel's cultural life, not only its past as represented by archaeology, but its present as manifested by its music and art, by its theater and literature, by the Israel Philharmonic Orchestra, the Habima Theater, the Reuben Academy of Music, the Inbal Dance Theater, not to mention the development of Israel's cultural relations with her Afro-Asian neighbors. We also grant scholarships to talented young Israelis so that they may progress in the various arts. And we bring to America the finest fruits of Israel's culture, the Israel Philharmonic Orchestra and the Inbal Dancers, as we also send to Israel for its first music festival such musical greats as Pablo Casals, Rudolf Serkin, and Isaac Stern. Ours is a dedication to a living cultural renaissance in the youthful state of Israel, a cultural contemporary in idiom, but deeply rooted to the rich Jewish heritage of the past.
Thank you, Mr. Rubin. Our eternal light drama today, The Caves, written by Erwin Gonchak, was the first in a series of programs based on great archaeological finds and was presented in observance of the Festival of Hanukkah. Cantor Robert H. Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Rita Lloyd as the mother, Peter Laser as Abraham, Sam Gray as the father, Alan Bergman as Avrum, Leon Janney as the Roman captain, Joe DeSantis as Bar Kokhba, with John Thomas, William Mason, and John Spencer. Ruth was Joan Laser. This is Vic Robey. Our program was directed by Daniel Sutter. Portions of this program were pre-recorded. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.